And we're just going to read, we read down through to the 10th verse last week. Today, we're just going to read the first verse and then the 6th verse of this scripture. And then we'll get started with the study. Exodus 30, beginning to read with verse 1. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon it of acacia wood, thou shalt make it. And verse 6, thou shalt put it before the veil, that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that it was over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. I wanted you to read that with me, because this is the whole purpose of the tabernacle, of every picture that we have. And as we read in the Sunday school class this morning concerning the Lord Jesus himself, said, concerning me is Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And so he covered the whole Old Testament. And so here we have it, the very purpose, where I will meet with thee. So let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy your presence, enjoy your power. We pray, Father, that you will touch each and every one of our hearts. Show us exactly what we're to be doing and where we're to be. And just take our lives, Father, and make them more and more acceptable to you, that we may live a life that is giving of a great testimony with every step of life we take, no matter where we are or what we're doing, that it brings honor and glory to you, Father. And so please give us the strength and the wisdom to do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find that the smoke of the incense rises up into the Holy of Holies. And as it does, again, this is the courtyard. This is the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and then we come to the tabernacle, the building itself, which is a tent-like building. It's 15 foot wide, 45 foot long, and 15 foot tall, golden walls, white embroidered ceiling. It's just the most beautiful place in here. Out here is nothing but the stench of death, and then also the laver, that's the washing. Both of those are made of brass. We come inside now. We have everything that is made of gold. And so the table of showbread is acacia wood overlaid with gold. Lampstands, pure gold. We've enjoyed the study of that. And now we find ourselves to the what we call the prayer altar or the incense altar. And again, I didn't get it redrawn, and I should have, because I think that we need to slide the lampstand, the table of showbread, down, bring the incense altar forwards. It tells us that the incense altar is right before the veil, and the veil goes into the Holy of Holies. This room you only enter in once a year on the Day of Atonement. But the incense here rises up across and comes in, fills this room, yes, but its basic purpose is to flow into the Holy of Holies. To flow into the Holy of Holies, and that's what this little purpose of the incense altar. The coals, as we read last week, the coals that burn the incense, there's no fire in here. The coals come from the brazen altar. There's a connection there, because again, this sits on a foundation of silver. Silver always stands for the blood, and here is where the offering is made, at the brazen altar. The coals are taken from there and brought down and placed in the incense, under the incense altar, to cause the incense to come forth, so you can sense it and enjoy the sweet fragrance that is present there. And so this constant the constant rising of the incense into the Holy of Holies, up on the Ark of the Covenant, up on the mercy seat, and it represents, of course, the throne of God. And so we have at the brazen altar, you know, Christ died for us. That's the picture that we have there. And again, the Lord Jesus himself has confirmed it multiple times that this speaks of me. And so we're not bringing something out of context here, because he said Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and all of them are a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. That's the full purpose of the Old Testament, is for us to see and to know the Lord Jesus. It should have been a full vision, a full picture for the Jews. They should have seen that. They should have seen it. And yet the devil gets us away from the Lord Jesus. The devil gets us away from speaking that we're sinners, we're lost in our sin, and we need a Savior. Let's just go on to be religious. And so as long as we can do that, why then the devil's happy, because nobody gets saved. Nobody finds the truth, and nobody walks with the Lord Jesus. Nobody then receives the Holy Spirit to enjoy it each day. So the brazen altar is the altar where Christ, pictures where Christ has died, shed his precious blood. And that's where we become reconciled with God. You're never reconciled until you've trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that you're lost, you're dying in your sin, you're condemned already, and you need salvation. That salvation is and can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the picture of the Lord Jesus and his cross upon the brazen altar. Now we come to the golden altar. We call it an incense altar, but it's also known as a golden altar. It's an altar at which he lives. He lives in heaven. He intercedes for us, those whom have already died in the Lord Jesus. There's a great misconception about that God hears of prayers of a lost person. And the only prayer that he will hear is a prayer of repentance. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner and I'm lost. That is the first and only prayer that God will hear. He will not hear a prayer, because the only way that we can get to God the Father is through God the Son, the Lord Jesus. And so you've got to know the Lord Jesus in order to be able to pray to him and through him to where you can get to God the Father. Now, many a prayer is lifted up. I mean, thousands of prayer. You run into people all the time that are lost, that many people don't even go to church, and they'll tell you something happens, and they'll say, oh, we'll pray for you. Well, they can do all they want to, but it is of no value, because until you are born again, until you are saved, until you have trusted in the Lord Jesus, your prayers are not heard. It's a prayer of repentance. And so, again, we get hurt, we get in trouble, we get all kinds of, and you know, God, please, take care of this, do this. It's of no value until you are born again. And so this golden altar that we have here are for those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are saved, are born again. And we have the complete picture, once again, with the tabernacle. Why do we know that? It's because the first piece of furniture is the brazen altar. And until you have accepted the offering and the sacrifice, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, until you have trusted in that, you go no further. You can't get to here. And that, again, is called the incense altar or the prayer altar. You can't get there until you have come to the brazen altar. God gives us this picture so we can see it. And then he helps us, because then with brazen laver, after we're saved And during our whole life, there is washing that and cleansing that needs to be done. And that takes care of the brazen laver. Again, brass stands for judgment. So that we're cleansed. And then we come in and we can enjoy the table of showbread. We begin to feed upon the Word of God. We begin to have fellowship with Him and joy. And we can do that only one way, is because we have the light of the Lord Jesus. This lampstand stands for the Lord Jesus, pure gold. We have oil in there. Oil stands for the Holy Spirit. And so here we have the joy of learning, of studying the Word of God, of growing. We've been to the altar. We've been to the cross. We've been, and the Word continues to cleanse our life. And then we can come in here only when you've been here can you come into the holy place. You no one can get there without going through these two stages. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. You've got to come to the cross of Calvary. You have to confess your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus. Then, and only then, He begins to change your life. And He will change your life. He'll make your life more like the Lord Jesus, to be like Jesus. And we can enjoy the feeding. We can enjoy the light of the lampstand. Now, finally, we have gotten to the place where we can have fellowship with God the Father. That comes here at this altar of incense, known as the prayer altar. We need to constantly be in prayer to our God as a believer. But the only way that that can happen, the only way that can come, is that you've been to the cross and you're saved, you're born again. So the brazen altar speaks of the death of Christ. The golden altar speaks of the living, the resurrected, ascended Lord Jesus Christ. So we have gotten from the cross and the brazen altar. We've been cleansed. Now we're in and we're enjoying the fellowship. We're growing and we're learning something. And that is that we have a Savior. We have one that will intercede for us unto God the Father. And until we get all the way to that point, we don't really understand that. We may pray, we may speak. You know, the Word of God says, whatever you ask for, He'll give it to you. And a lot of people have problems with that. Because they say, well, I've asked for a lot of things, and God hadn't given it to me. Well, you need to ask in His will. And that is what you've accomplished by getting to that point. Because, you see, you have been to the brazen altar, you're saved. You've been to the brazen laver, you've continued to grow and be more like the Lord Jesus. Now we've moved in and we're feeding upon the Word. We're studying the Word of God, and that's helping us to grow and to be closer to the Lord Jesus, to know His will and way. We can only do that because of the light of that lampstand, because there's no other light in there. And now finally we're getting to the place where we can have this fellowship with our God that we should have. And so we've come all the way, and we're all the way to that veil, and that sweet incense is pouring forwards. And so now we know that what we ask in His will, we'll receive. But until now, we didn't know what His will was. So we've asked a lot of things in vain because it was not His will. When we get to the point that we're standing before this prayer altar, this incense altar, we have an understanding of our God. We know what He wants. And we begin to change our prayer and change our request to be pleasing unto the Lord. Now, you may wonder, because we've talked about this, why are we using this example all the time? Let's go to Psalms 141. Verse 2, to show you that what I'm speaking of when I talk about this being a prayer altar, David has helped us with this through the direction of the Holy Spirit. Psalms 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So there we have the Word of God telling us that this incense that pours in there is just as our prayers pour into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God the Father. Now, we need to realize that our intercession needs to be constant. We need to always have this fellowship, because the incense was forever burning. It was always flowing into the Holy of Holies. And our fellowship with our God and our talking to our God, our prayers to our God, should be the same. We should be constantly in prayer to them. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 1, because again, the question comes, how can we go into the only people that can go in here is the priests. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. John tells us, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He has made us kings and priests. So we have the opportunity to go in and use this as a beautiful picture, because our life is to be able to meet and to know the Lord Jesus. And so the first one's a brazen altar. That's the cross. That's the Lord Jesus. That's where he saves us. The next is a brazen laver. That's where he washes us. The Lord Jesus washes us. We go into the tabernacle itself. And who shines the light so we can see the Word of God and understand it? The Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the direction and the strength to do this. And this is all because we enjoy the Holy Spirit that lives within our heart. And we feed upon the Word of God, the table of showbread. And now we have come to the most important part in a believer's life, and the most neglected. So we are the as the priests, to back up just a little bit, as the priests were continually washing, continually going in and feeding upon the bread, and as the incense is continually pouring into the Holy of Holies, into this 15 by 15 cube where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat is there. And again, the only reason that it's a mercy seat is because of the precious blood that is applied on that on the Day of Atonement. One day a year, the high priest would come through with the blood of one of the goats. That's where the scapegoat name came. Take the blood of one of the goats and bring it in, and he would sprinkle it 7 times across the mercy seat, and that's why it becomes a mercy seat. Pure gold, that's deity. Inside there was the Ten Commandments. So if there's no blood applied, we're condemned by the Ten Commandments. We have to trust in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. So each step that we enjoy the service of the incense altar, it's very clear that this intercessory prayer is the highest, the greatest opportunity that a believer has for ourselves to talk directly with our God through the Lord Jesus Christ. One day a year, they were able to enter into the Holy of Holies, the high priest only. Because of the Lord Jesus and him taking the place of the veil, now We can go right to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we pray? In Jesus' name. It's because we must pray in Jesus' name, because He is the intercessor. He's the one that we pray through to God the Father. He takes our prayers and He corrects them. He makes them what they should be and delivers them to God the Father. We need this intercessory prayer. But the problem is that it's something. Prayer is the sweetest thing that we can offer to our God. We come, we sing praises to Him, we lift up His name, we witness for Him, we study His precious word. But the greatest is prayer, and the most neglected is prayer. That's what He loves and enjoys. Do you ever wonder, when we look at Mary and Martha and Lazarus? Martha was busy. Oh, she was working, serving. She was getting the meal ready for the Lord Jesus and for the group that was there and taking care of it and everything else. And she was kind of complaining, because what was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was worshiping. She was praying. She was fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus. She's the one that got recognized, not Martha. So you see, we always need to have this wonderful fellowship with our God. Before anything. Before service, before work, before, and you'll find out that if you bathe it in prayer before you go to work, if you bathe it in prayer before you have anything, before the day starts and throughout the day, if you'll do that, you'll find that the day will go much, much better, because you're going to have the fellowship. You're starting the fellowship with your God. We need to start it that way. And we need to have it all day long, because we live in a filthy old world. She served before she worshiped. She didn't get the recognition that Mary got. We need to worship and praise the Lord. The greatest privilege that we have, and the most neglected, is our prayer. Now, again, this should always come before our service. We have a couple examples of that in God's precious word. One is back in Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 21. This is, I always love this one. This is a pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus comes down early, Him and a couple angels. And so here they come, and we'll just kind of start up here about verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, this is chapter 18, verse 18, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring unto Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I'll go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure that there be 50 righteous within the city. This is a mighty city. Multitudes of people live here. And yet Abraham started out, he said, if there be 50, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham answered again, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Look at how Abraham humbles himself. Peradventure that there shall lack 5 and of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy the city for the lack of 5? Now there's 45. He said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. He spake unto him yet again, peradventure there shall be 40. And he said to them, I will not if there find 40. Verse 30. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure that there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. Talk about the wicked city. Verse 31, he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto thee, peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet, but this just once. Peradventure there be 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, Abraham returned to his place. Now, there is a man interceding for his family. Who was Abraham praying for? He wasn't praying for just general folks in Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew where Lot lived. And so he was praying for the safety of his nephew and his family. You ever wonder why he stopped at 10? I mean, he did. He just kept saying, he said, Lord, please don't be mad. I'm going to ask you one more time. He went all the way down to 10 because he felt like surely there would be at least 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah that would be saved. Well, he's got Lot and his wife, and he's got the, you know, there's two children that aren't married, and there's two children that are married, and then there's this. So I think Abraham accounted for 10, an immediate family, and he believed that there surely there were 10 there, so he stopped at 10. Can you imagine God saying, I will not destroy the cities of the valley for 10 people that are saved? Won't do it. Well, we know the rest of the story. All that was there was 2 virgin daughters, Lot. That's all that came out. There were just 3. Just 3. Now, there's a man interceding for somebody else. And that's our point, because this prayer altar is not just for your needs. We're to be before a God that hears us as believers and be praying for each other. We need to pray for our lost family. We need to pray for those folks that need strength and direction. We need to pray before we go out to soul win. We need to be, we got multiple of people that we need to be praying for, intercede for them, as Abraham did. Now, let's go to one more. Let's go to Exodus 32. Do you know the reason that Abraham lifted up these prayers for Lot is because he was such a godly man? Lot was a mess. Lot was at the gate. He had gotten himself a position. He was they came to the door. These perverts were so as we have today, came to the door and wanted the two messengers. And Lot wasn't about to let that happen. So you know what he did? He bargained. He said, "You can have my two virgin daughters." You want to know how spiritual Lot was? Lot was a mess. But Lot was saved. Lot was saved. He was saved early in his life. He made some decisions when the herdsmen got too large there, and Abraham went to Lot, and you and I probably wouldn't do this because Abraham said, "Lot, you look to the east and look to the west, look to the north, look to the south, whatever direction you want to go, I'll go the opposite way." He trusted in the Lord so much that he wasn't afraid that he was going to get cheated, that Lot would take the best and he'd be left with the desert. He didn't care because he knew God was going to take care of him. So he said, "You just take whatever you want." Now, that's a spiritual man. Well, we know what Lot did. Lot cast his eyes towards Sodom. He loved what he saw down there. Wasn't long. Next thing we know, he's living in Sodom. But the Word of God tells us Lot was saved. So God took care of him. He brought him out. Even though he destroyed the city because there was not 10 righteous there. But Lot was saved. Exodus 32, verse 7. Another one that intervenes. The Lord said to Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and they have sacrificed unto it, and said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, that which brought thee out of the land of Egypt.'" Isn't that something, how that the Shekinah glory cloud led them out across the through the dry land on the through the sea, and yet here they're claiming that these gods, this golden god, has done this. And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, and my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." He said, "I've had it. I've had it with these people. Moses, I'll build a great nation out of you. We'll start over again." Moses besought the Lord God, said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'If mischief did he bring them out for mischief, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people.'" You remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, "I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto thy seed." Now, and so you see the promise, and so here, in both times, Abraham intervened for Lot's sake. Moses intervened for Israel's sake. And so we need to do the same. We have got a lot of folks that we need to be praying for. And so not only do we pray to our God for His power and His strength for ourselves, but we need to be praying unto God that He will save those family members that are lost, that will lead us, will give us the strength that we need. So, and who does God give this ability to intercede? Only believers. Remember, we're all the way to the veil. This veil has been replaced now with the Lord Jesus. We come all the way to that prayer altar, and now for the first time we can speak and come through. Now, you'll notice that on your sheets you have John chapter 17. We're already out of time, and so we're going to start there because that is a great prayer. And then also you'll notice that you've got Matthew chapter 6, because that is the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And we quote that so many times. God never intended us to do that. He never intended for us to do that. And we're going to spend time next week concerning the beautiful prayer that He gives in John chapter 17. And then we're going to come and go to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to talk about this wonderful teaching that we have. But He never, it's the saddest thing, once again, to quote the Scripture, He never intended for us to quote this as is. That wasn't its purpose at all. That was not its purpose. And yet, you can go to every liberal church around, and they sit there and they'll say, let's say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're going to learn what this purpose for us is when we get together next time. So we'll start with John 17, start with the prayer altar and what we're supposed to be doing, and God gives us many examples in His precious word. Let's close in prayer. Father, please, that You can guide us and bring us, first of all, to the cross, this brazen altar where the offering was made, the picture You've given us of that. Then help us each day with our cleansing, and to make us more like Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Then, Father, we come in, and by Your light, by Your understanding, we can feed upon Your precious word at the table of showbread. We're getting closer and closer, Father, to that precious throne. Thank You that You've given us this direction, this guidance, this strength. Thank You, Father. So wherever, Father, each one of us find ourselves, do we have to come to the brazen altar yet, to the cross? Maybe we have trusted in You as our Savior, but we got to that laver, and some things that You showed us that we should get rid of or begin to do, we have neglected to do that. So we've kind of gotten stalled right there until we take care of that. And once we've taken care of it, then, Father, we can go right inside, and, oh, we've lost the stench of death. We have enjoyed that beautiful sight of the golden walls and the embroidered ceiling, and the light of the lampstand shows us the way. And Father, we're getting closer and closer to being able to really talk and fellowship with You. You saved us. You cleansed us. Now the fellowship and the worship comes. Thank You, Father. Speak to all of our hearts, wherever each one of us might be, because we've got the direction. We know which way to go. So lead us, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.